You're listening to Stateside from Michigan Radio. I'm Cynthia Canty. 189 years ago this month, the Erie Canal opened. Dan Ward is a curator of the Erie Canal Museum, and he's with us now from Syracuse, New York. Dan, the Erie Canal opened October 25th, 1825, and a little more than 12 years later, Michigan was able to enter the Union as a full-fledged state. How much do you think the Erie Canal helped Michigan move from a territory to statehood?
Well, let's think about this. Prior to the Erie Canal, in order to get to Michigan, you had to go over a mountain range somewhere. And that took a long time, took a lot of exertion. And what the Erie Canal was able to provide was easy passage through the mountains. The reason the Erie Canal goes across New York State isn't necessarily because people here had a better idea about travel. It really is that there's a break in the mountains there. And it's a very narrow break in the mountain range that protects the entire eastern seaboard from the interior of the continent. What they were able to do is take this little valley, the Mohawk Valley, and build a ditch that they dug all the way across the state. And I think the other thing that's significant is that this canal went from the Hudson River to Lake Erie. An easier canal would have been to just go up to Lake Ontario. It would have been a much shorter canal, maybe
Good point.
About half the length.
Yeah.
And the reason they didn't do that is that when the planning was taking place, we were at war with the British, who had their navy on Lake Ontario. And this really provided a way to move military personnel and materiel to the frontier without having it confiscated by the British Navy.
Very pragmatic.
So, yes, it was. But the result of this is that they go to Lake Erie, and that's what's significant about the settlement of Michigan, because people could get on these boats and easily travel across the state. It took 6 to 11 days rather than the weeks and weeks and weeks of time it would have taken to get over the mountain range. And they were able to get from the Hudson River to Buffalo, where they could get off of the canal boat and get on a sailing ship. And the sailing vessel could easily make it out there.
It strikes me this would have been incredibly important the other way, too, for getting products from Michigan back to the east and beyond to Europe.
Yeah, this is great because they could then ship these products back across the lake. And they've got these boats that were carrying people west. They can then carry the products east. And they go to the Hudson River, but more importantly, they're able to go down the Hudson River to the port of New York City. And there they were able to load these products on ships that could go to Europe. And that was a way for Michigan to enter a global economy in the 19th century.
Whose idea was it, Dan, to create, we'll call it a superconductor, that basically linked the Atlantic Ocean with the Great Lakes?
There are many people who thought about this idea. Significantly, this is something that George Washington thought would be a good idea. But the man who really pushed it was the mayor of New York City, who then became governor of New York. His name was DeWitt Clinton. He ran for office as governor on a canal plank. It's interesting, while he was still mayor of New York City, Manhattan Island was largely farmland, and he brought a surveyor in to map out the grid pattern for streets when it would become a great port city.
So this was a forward-thinking man.
He was very forward-thinking.
I have to imagine many people listening to our conversation can thank the fact that they live in Michigan to, you know, put that at the feet of the Erie Canal, because you had ancestors who made that trip who might not have otherwise done it.
Yes. You know, it's interesting for me, working in the Erie Canal Museum in Syracuse, New York, that a large percentage of the people who are contacting us for genealogical information are from Michigan. Most of them are not only interested in the genealogical data, but they're interested in what was the experience of their ancestors when they came across on these boats. And so many of them have ancestors who did go across the Erie Canal on a canal boat.
And what was that experience like? We certainly know that immigrants to America who came from Europe via boat had a very terrible time. The Irish called them the coffin ships. So there was that journey. But give us an idea of what was that experience like if you were coming from back east and wanting to go to Michigan?
It was a widely varied experience. The first boats operating on the canal were passenger boats. They were called packet boats. And because there was competition between these packet lines, they tried to add as many amenities to the trip as they could. So you'd have probably the equivalent of a chef providing the food, and people would dress up, and they'd be able to ride on the upper deck or the roof of the boat. The bridges were low on the canal, and these passengers would have to duck down often to not get their heads hit when they went under the bridges. But it was a pleasant but slow ride. I imagine by today's standards it would have been a little bit crude.
But considering going over a mountain range, torturously making your way across.
It was much easier, and they were riding on a canal, so they're riding on a shock absorber. They're not being knocked around like they would have been on a stagecoach or even the early railroads, which were immediately popular once rail was consolidated. It was a much faster way to travel, and people stopped taking the boats, and they'd get on these railroad cars where they'd get cinders in their faces and a very bumpy ride, but it was a much faster ride. The accounts from the 19th century, you know, they're relatively positive about the experience on these packet boats, though. There was entertainment. They usually were able to sleep pretty well, and it was just a nice way to ride. Now, after the railroads opened, people of means would go by rail, and it was very quick. It took a fraction of the time the boat took to cross New York State. But the poorer people, especially immigrants from Europe, would still be able to ride on boats. They'd go on line boats, which carried passengers and freight. And those boats were very slow. They were much slower than the packet boats, and it might take a couple of weeks to cross the state. They were crowded, and they didn't feed them or anything, so they'd have to get off and procure their meals. And that was a much tougher ride, I think.
So you could do it. In the line of worldly goods, you could still get yourself to the frontier and hopefully build your new life.
Yes, and another thing that you could do with those boats is you could bring everything you needed to set up a farmstead. So you could bring your animals, and you could bring plows, and you could bring other things that you wouldn't be able to procure on the frontier. People could move an entire household across the country that way.
Very, very important point in Michigan's history that we might easily overlook 189 years ago this month with the opening of the Erie Canal. And we've been talking to the curator of the Erie Canal Museum in Syracuse, New York, Dan Ward. It was really good to talk with you. Thank you.
Thanks for having me on.